Hello, my name is Kelly Fitzsilva. I'm 46 years old, and today is November 14th, 2023. We're at CU Boulder in Colorado, and I am talking to Pedro Silva, who is also my husband.
My name is Pedro Silva. I am 48 years old. It is still November 14th, 2023 at CU Boulder, Colorado. My partner is Kelly Fitzsilva, and she is my wife. So, you know, I'm sitting here looking over at you and feeling a lot of appreciation because I know that it's not the easiest thing to get up here and tell stories in front of people potentially. But I kind of think it's indicative of the 20 years that we've been together. And I'm kind of like learning to appreciate that even more about you, that you sometimes do things that are that you don't want to do or it's hard for you to do. And you might even complain, but you're still doing it. And I told you a long time ago, to me, part of my faith is from Christianity, is this is like if a friend asks you to walk a mile, walk two. And sometimes relationships ask us to be uncomfortable. And a lot of people want comfortability in a relationship. My faith says that that's not how it often goes. And I feel like our relationship is indicative of that. And so I want to start off by telling you that I appreciate you for walking through the things that are hard and even feeling it in your body and still showing up. So I wanted to start off by saying that. I feel like that's an expression of faith.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I guess I appreciate that you've dragged me into this stuff all of the time. But, I mean, I know it's good for me because ultimately, like, I'm growing, but it is really hard to, like, I can feel, like, a lot of stress and emotion and, you know, thoughts coming up, but I'm here, so I guess we'll see where this goes.
Yeah. I know, like, we have different faith backgrounds. Like, I grew up, like, fundamentalist and very religious and very conservative, and over the years, even though I think like in my core, I'm still that way, but it's kind of like a flower when the flower is like growing. At first, it's kind of like before it blossoms, it's kind of stiff and rigid and it needs to be in order for the flower to kind of grow. And then when the time comes, it starts to spread out and soften, and which I think has happened for me over the years. Maybe you agree, maybe you don't agree. But I think part of that softening has been our relationship. And I feel in a lot of ways our relationship is an expression of my faith because so much of us doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. Like even like why we're together, like how we get along for like 52% of the time or any of those things. But I'm also curious because in the past I only dated people that were like my race and my religious background. Mm-hmm. And you're not my race and you're not my religious background, mm-hmm. but me and you are still together and it doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. So when I say that, it must be God, but I'm also curious about with you not having that same background to keep you in place, what do you think keeps you in place in the relationship?
I guess like, I obviously like I was Catholic growing up, but, I kind of like felt like it wasn't as expansive as I was seeking as far as my connection with like God. And I never really liked living inside of boxes. And so I kind of, you know, I sort of was open to dating a whole range of different types of guys. It didn't matter to me, you know, what race they were or religion or any of those boxes. I just like to get to know the person for who they were. And so when I met you, like that didn't matter to me at all. And I think the fact that you were really religious was harder for me than the fact that if you hadn't been, if you were just like spiritual, because then it felt like it was a box, you mm-hmm. know? And for me, I guess the difference with you is that you were Christian, but you also were like really interested in the mystical side of Christianity, which is obviously how we met because we had this mutual friend that connected us. And I said, oh, I'm interested in learning about the mystical side of Christianity. And she said, oh, well, you should talk to my friend Pedro. And so that's kind of what opened me up to getting to know you, and then obviously it turned into a relationship, which we could tell that story if you want to start.
Yeah. I mean, I think another reason why I say it is God is because, like, I wanted to be, like, almost like a monk at that point in my life because I had gone through a painful divorce, and I was, like, didn't want to be in a relationship and was like, there's no way I don't want to be in a relationship. I just really want to focus on my faith and just be in work. And I was like kind of close to when I was studying Mandarin, my teacher used to call me the monk because I was like just functioning in that capacity. And then after the breakup and all the stuff that went along with that, I was like, man, I'm not being in a relationship with anybody. If I ended up in a relationship, that person would have to literally like walk into my house and like and basically be like, God is making me be with you because I wasn't going to do it on my own. I wasn't mm-hmm. going to participate in dating and everything. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, our friend that you mentioned had sent out these emails about breakups and different things, yada, yada, yada. But we started emailing each other and I was like, well, there's no problem emailing this person. And, you know, then we end up talking on the phone. And then when I started talking to you, I literally was willing to talk to you because I didn't date white people. It was like a rule that I had. Mm-hmm. And I was like, whoa, this is cool. She's white. There's no way we're going to end up in a relationship. So I don't have a problem talking to her about spiritual stuff and mm-hmm. everything because I know we won't end up in a relationship together because of that rule I had. Mm-hmm. And then next thing you know, we're talking for like 6 months, you know, mm-hmm. and you were way more open about, you know, stuff than me in terms of relationship. So I don't know. I don't know if I ever asked you why you were so open to so much, you know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. even come and, you know, be open to this when there was no foundation for it.
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I guess I'm sure that for me, I'm an explorer by nature. Like I love to travel. I love to like learn about people, places, things, foods. You know, I studied anthropology in college and I became a photographer and I used my camera as a tool for me to get into places to see things, you know. Mm. And I think, like I said, growing up, maybe having a little bit of a Catholic background, but like for me, learning how to do Reiki and then expanding myself into spirituality, it's like there was something inside of me where I always knew it was bigger than the boxes that like human create for mm. spirituality. And so with that, I like accepted like, well, if that's true, then everything here is spiritual, you know? Mm-hmm. And so there's nothing but love to see somewhere, even mm-hmm. if it seems like awful and horrible, like there's got to be some greater purpose and greater thing behind it. And so as far as taking my openness into this relationship, it was like, there's something here for me. Like he's in my life. He showed up. Our friend who I was consulting with about another relationship actually connected us. And why did she? Let me explore this. Let me see where it's going, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it just kept like opening up more and more and more, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, a quick little background on that. Like I was living in Los Angeles and I was dating somebody in Los Angeles that was moving to Atlanta. And it wasn't a great relationship. I mean, there was a lot of like confusion and lies and deceit in that relationship. And so for me, it was just actually pushing me to be more spiritually awake because I was like, I'm going to see this with love no matter what, even though there was like a lot of hurt like coming at me. Mm-hmm. I was like, I still continued to just keep my heart open and I kept praying and like reading A Course in Miracles and a bunch of spiritual texts that were kind of keeping me on path because I kept seeing this as like, this is a lesson for me to learn and grow and become. And even there were times where I would be like praying like, okay, if he isn't the right one, then bring me to the one that is because I need to see like that I'm growing and no matter what, someone is out there to match where I am, you know, vibrating to basically, like mm-hmm. becoming. Mm-hmm. And then when when our friend connected us. I didn't at first think that you were the one that I was going to end up being with. She just said, oh, yeah, well, you should talk to my friend Pedro if you move to Atlanta because he could show you around. And he's also into the mystical side of the Bible.
Right.
And then I was like, okay, that, you know, that sounds interesting. But I was still caught up on that other relationship. You know,
right.
That kind of held me back a little bit until that broke up and fell apart.
Yeah.
And then you and I started talking more.
You know, it's funny. Like, this, you saying that reminds me that, like, both of our exes were from South Central LA.
Yeah.
Both of our exes were less than truthful about some things. And I ended up in Atlanta because it was my last-ditch effort to save my relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Because I grew up in the South where it's like, a good amount of racism and different things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And my ex was saying some things of, like, she hated that I lived in this, like, small backward town that we were living in, and from her perspective. And then she wanted to be in a more city place and a place where, you know, black people felt like they could move around more freely. And so I was, like, thinking Atlanta was going to be, like, the promised land to save my relationship. And I told her, like, I'm committed to the relationship that I know we can have. And you're saying all these things. And I prayed and asked God, like, where can I go that would make my relationship, like, thrive?
Mm-hmm.
And then Atlanta showed up, like, several times.
Mm-hmm.
This one minister named Dr. Barbara King, I met her right after I prayed about that at an Easter service in Virginia. She lived in Atlanta, and for some reason she got in her head I was moving there because she said, see you in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, why'd she say that? And then a couple other things happened. So then I said, oh, this must be the place if I go there. And then I told my ex, like, we need to move to Atlanta. And then she wouldn't go. And then I said, that's it, I'm going to go. And then if you want to follow me, you can follow me. But we have to change.
Mm-hmm.
This relationship just has to change.
Mm-hmm.
And then I ended up in Atlanta. And if I mm-hmm. didn't do that, then we would have never met.
Mm-hmm.
And then me and you got together, got in a relationship, moved away, and then my ex met somebody else and moved to Atlanta.
And I never even moved there.
Yeah, so you never. Yeah, yeah, you never moved there.
It was just because you were there and because my ex was moving there that my friend was like, hey,
right,
if you go there, you got to get in touch with Pedro.
Yeah, so that to me, that was also God. I was like, what is God doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then I ended up in Atlanta. We ended up together, and it's like, I don't know. It's like, I still to this day, even like when we had two kids and Calista and Micaiah. Calista's 15 now.
Mm-hmm.
Micaiah's 6 now. We have this whole life. We've been like very like poor and then been doing decent. And like I went from being like all these different jobs before I became a pastor and stopped being a pastor. And
mm-hmm.
you've been there the whole time, like in all the different iterations of me and you. You
mm-hmm.
both changed a lot. Like now you have long hair and I have short hair. When we met, I had long hair and you had short hair. I don't know. It's kind of wild. And I think that faith keeps us together too,
mm-hmm.
even when we butt heads, because we got like so many different reasons to butt heads. But even when we do, even though our way of looking at God is not on paper the same,
mm-hmm.
it still keeps bringing us back to each other. We keep,
yeah.
We both go to God when we have problems.
Yeah, that's for sure. Because I definitely feel like I said about the past relationship, even in this relationship, when we go through hard times, I'm always like, okay, what do I need to learn out of this? You know, what is my soul like manifesting into my life that's trying to teach me something so that I can kind of remove that block to like being in that oneness or wholeness, you know, between like me and God, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of see it as like anytime stuff comes up in our life that creates like challenges or, you know, difficulties, something that we might have judgment on, it's basically the block that we have between us living in that wholeness and oneness with God. And so I'm like, well, obviously, if there's something in my life that's making me feel like bad, you know, and I have a judgment on this or I'm struggling with this, then I'm not at peace with it. It must be because I haven't learned something. So even when we go through stuff, even if it's like awful and I'm like, oh my God, we need to break up or whatever it might be, I'm still like, but I need to learn this lesson first. And usually by the time I learn the lesson, we're fine.
Right,
you know,
right.
I'll be like, okay. Not that I don't have to relearn the lesson over and over sometimes, but You know, I mean, that's like, I think you must do that on some level too. And that's why we keep growing together, because I think in past relationships, even when I was learning the lessons, maybe the other person hadn't been, and we weren't growing together.
Right.
And so even when it gets like so hard sometimes, I do think we're both like, you know, we might be like on the outside, like looking like we're arguing with each other, but on the inside, like, okay, how can I shift and change and grow to become a better person, to like show up and be here, you know, and just like kind of, I guess, keep fostering that relationship with myself and God so that there isn't that block and I can show up whole in this world, you know?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Like, yeah, it
makes
sense.
Do you go through that too on your end when we have hard times?
With me, I probably wouldn't articulate it that same way, but it probably has the same outcome.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've told you before, like, I had that experience when I was, like, basically driving across country by myself, and I couldn't sleep, and I was, like, I fall asleep when I was driving and couldn't sleep when I was in a hotel, and I was going through this, mm-hmm. I had gone through a church breakup, because my church had gotten angry with me for saying, even though my church basically said everybody was going to hell except for us, I said, well, if that's true, shouldn't we love them more while we're on earth and treat people even kinder? Because if we believe that, then that would mean they're suffering in this life and then they're going to suffer in this other life. Shouldn't we be kinder to them now? And they got like so pissed at me for saying that. And I was like, why are you mad at me for saying be kind to people? And I got kicked out of church. So it kind of just broke me up. And then I wanted to be an atheist because I blamed it on God. Because I thought like because the people in church were older, blah, blah. And I got to that point where I was like, humans are messed up. Like we are clueless. And I said I wanted to believe in God absolutely or not at all. And so the decision to believe in God absolutely or not at all is kind of like my true north. So, like, if God is, like, love and God is, like, spacious and gracious and all of these other things, then the stuff that comes up for me that may manifest as, like, being upset or angry, blah, blah, all the things, those are just, like, you know how we say healing crises?
Mm-hmm.
It's like that. It's like you're having a crisis, but it's because you're becoming better.
Yeah.
Like you're healing and the stuff is, but you got to get the crap off of you. And so a lot of times I don't take it personally, even though it might seem like if we're in the heat of something, but I think that it's just the stuff coming off. And then when the stuff comes off, then we're like, we see ourselves more clearly. We see each other more clearly.
And that's exactly what I mean. Like it's like the stuff inside of me.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I consider it like a block, you know
right,
what I mean,
right.
to being in that like wholeness or oneness.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, it's basically like you have junk inside of you, whether it's been programmed in you from this lifetime, past lifetimes, you know, but you have this junk inside of you that's like, oh, when I was a little girl, this happened to me and I felt abandoned. So every time he's late or doesn't show up or, you know, doesn't answer the phone or something, all of a sudden, like that little girl part of me is like, why aren't you there for me when I need you? Where are you? You know,
right.
And so it's like that's one of my stories, you know, just being honest, like sometimes I have to heal through that and it will come up many times until it's probably gone. And, you know, the day that it doesn't come up, maybe I have healed completely through that. Right.
Yeah.
Graduate beyond that. And so I kind of think of that. I think of it as a block just because I'm like, OK, well, that's where I'm like, I wouldn't see God as feeling that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say.
Right.
So if I'm feeling that feeling, that's where like my humanness is blocking me from being in that oneness. So those things that come up, I just see that as like, that's something I have to heal through. So
right.
when it comes up between us, it's always like in my face, like, you got to heal this, you
right.
know? And for me, maybe because I put like my most specialness on our relationship, it generally comes up between us. I have very little conflict outside of my
right.
world, out in my world, but like a lot of stuff comes up between us.
Yeah.
Which is a miracle that we do, like, keep through it, that you keep through it with me, too. You
yeah.
keep staying with me.
Yeah. I think, like, for me, it's like, I don't know. I really don't know how to say it, but, like, when I'm listening to you, I'm like, we talked about that word block, like, a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it still hasn't connected with me, but I know what you mean when you say it.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, for me, I guess it's like, oh, I've told you before that, like, it seems to me that, like, emotions, some emotions are, like, being on drugs or alcohol. Mm-hmm. And so, like, when a person's emotions get triggered, then, like, the chemicals start going in their brain, and they're basically intoxicated. So then I, like, will basically think, like, okay, when a person's intoxicated, they're just not in their right mind. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's like there's no matter what comes up or what comes out, it's just showing, like, that we're not in our right mind. And that there is a state, how do I say this? Like, I don't think that, I don't know the best way to say it. I guess, like, I do think that the emotions exist in God, mm-hmm. which is ironic because I'm less emotional. Mm-hmm. But I feel like they exist in a way that is like how colors exist in the world. Mm-hmm. Like, all the emotions are different colors. Mm-hmm. And you can, like, even when you're looking in the material world, if everything in this room was black, then you wouldn't be able to make any distinctions. So I think there's an appropriate way to work with the colors and work with the emotions. But what happens for a lot of us is that some emotion/color gets triggered when we're younger, and then we start using that color to color everything. And so then we're like, oh, this is red and that's red. And it's like, then I start being like, yo, hold on. Like, it's not that color isn't appropriate for this situation. And, like, I may do that also. And then, but then God is working with me through relationships with you and our kids and life to figure out the right, like, proportion of color to color the picture more beautifully that includes all of the emotions and all of the stuff. Mm-hmm. I feel like all of the stuff is here for a reason. Mm-hmm. And even the things that we don't like. But it's like knowing how to use that appropriately is mm-hmm. what we're trying to figure out how to do.
Yeah, I can agree with that, you know, to some degree, I guess. I just think that when I say it, I think that, like, there would be more sense of a feeling of peace, you know, where maybe stuff wouldn't trigger me as much if I didn't have, like, stuff coming up that, you know, I'm calling a block, but, like, the junk, like how in Hawaiian the word is called hemolele, right? Mm-hmm, like, where right. they, like, the junk comes up right. and they kind of give it to God. Right. And so that's, I'm just talking about that, like, the stuff that leaves you feeling, like, not at peace or in unrest or disturbed, like that junk that comes up when we're in relationship where I'm like, okay, I'm feeling abandoned. Well, I don't think, like, maybe that feeling exists in God, and I don't really know if I'll ever know or not know, but I don't enjoy the feeling of abandonment. Right. And so for me, I'm like, hey, that's something I need to heal in this lifetime. Right now would be a great time to heal that, you know? And I'm like, right. okay, I'm feeling it though. And and the little girl inside of me is like screaming and crying or something.
Right.
So how can I move through that? You know? And I just see it as opportunities every time.
Right.
I mean, no matter how hard it can be, sometimes that's how it comes up for me. I'll see it as an opportunity. And I'm like, okay, I still have work to do here.
Right.
You know?
And I think that probably is, you know, a matter of perspective. Like, there's a value in, it's interesting, like, talking about this stuff, like, because you feel, like, I know you feel abandoned. You've already said it yourself about, like, little things, but your dad was there. My dad left when I was 2 mm-hmm. and married a white woman, so that's why I never wanted to be with a white person.
Yeah.
Then
I think you probably processed it differently, though.
Right. Well, yeah,
you might have got
did.
A little tougher.
Right.
And I probably yeah. got more emotional.
Right. But it's like, but from my perspective, it's like, okay, I like not no offense. I don't mean in a negative kind of way. It was like I know what it's like to be abandoned. Like I literally mm-hmm. was like, "Please don't leave me." And then my dad still left. Yeah. You know what I mean? And then,
but I don't think it's necessary. I think you're playing the other side of it in some ways in our relationship. Like you might be seeing it outside of yourself by seeing me feeling abandoned. It's not that the abandonment story is out of your life, though. If
well,
you
yeah, I get what
if
you're saying.
You didn't still have to work on it from some end, you probably wouldn't be experiencing it in our relationship.
Like witnessing it.
Yeah, like I'm still might be the one acting it out.
Right.
But you're still in a relationship where abandonment comes up.
Yeah, that's
and,
true.
And you might not be if you didn't have to work on that thing to heal.
Right.
So you're still able to see it from some direction, and you might be seeing it from your dad's eyes. You know what I mean?
Mm.
You might be seeing, I'm just saying, maybe not your dad, but you might just be seeing it from another angle.
Well, one thing that I just thought about which I'll practice it and see if it works, is like, which might be kind of weird, but like, if listening to what you're saying, right? Say you were playing the role of me, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. As a kid being like, don't leave me or whatever. And then I would be like the way I wish my dad was and say, mm-hmm. okay, I'm going to come to you and say, okay, I'm
Hang
here.
Out, play.
I'm not going to, yeah, I'm not going to leave you or something like that. Cause like, and see if that is healing something inside of me and like some kind, you know, mutual healing kind of thing, like how we talk about sometimes. I could imagine that, and I'll even try to work on that, seeing it from that perspective. But what comes up in the interim is like, I feel like I know what it's like to be abandoned. So when I hear people saying they feel abandoned, when like, I'm like, you feel abandoned, but you're, parents were always, not talking about you, I'm just saying in general, you're not the only one that
feels either way, but I think it does trigger you. Like you'll be like, you don't even know what it's like.
Because I'll just be like, what the heck?
Like you grew up with a single mom.
And then my mom wasn't even there. So.
Well, I mean, I think everybody comes from, you know, everybody's story is relative to them.
Right, of course.
I mean, I'm not trying to be like, woe is me, but I'll just for background, like, I grew up the oldest of 9 kids.
Right.
And my parents were extremely busy working a business, a family business. And they were there physically in the home, but not emotionally present with me, you know, pretty much at all, because it was either, like, work-related stuff or family-related stuff. And there's no judgment. I just like felt like I needed maybe more.
Right.
You know?
I get it. But I mean, I understand it.
Now like, I'm like, oh God, I'd hope they don't listen to this.
I mean, I think we're talking about very human things, right? Like me and you are the first ones to experience any of these things. So like they probably felt it. You know what I mean?
Oh, for sure. My mom was the second oldest of 13 kids whose parents also had a family business. So it was like the similar family patterns just trickled down, right?
Right.
And I mean, I think they did a great job providing for us and taking care of us. And we went on vacations and had, you know, we had, from your perspective, like we had this like great family life.
Right.
But there was just this little girl side of me that was like, oh, I need more, you know, nurturing or something.
No, so. I mean, I understand it. It's not like I don't even have judgment on it. It's like, it's more of a kind of like on a farm, there's all kinds of animals and a duck can be like, yo, this is what it's like to be a duck. And the horse can be like, yo, I totally see it. I watch you be a duck all the time, but I can't float on water. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I'm not judging you for what you can do or can't do. And I don't want to be judged for what I can do or can't do, and we can be in a relationship to the degree that there's like, you know, relatability and all those other things like that. Mm-hmm. And it's just the same. I feel like it's the same way. Like there's so much variety in the universe because I personally believe like God is infinitely creative. And so, but the thing that could bond us in our relationship and bond humans in general is being able to figure out how to celebrate the infinite variety that exists and to try to create more space to make room for all the different ways that people show up. But everyone has to take responsibility for their own like journey, which I think in the grand scheme, me and you do. Mm-hmm. And that's why we're together. Mm-hmm. Even if we get in arguments and it sounds like I'm blaming you or you're blaming me, I don't think that's true because we're still together, you know? So on a certain level, like there may be some points where we have a hard time relating, but that's awesome also because we can still learn and grow together.
Right.
Like if I completely understood you and you completely understood me, I felt all your feelings, you felt all my feelings, I thought your thoughts, you thought my thoughts, then one of us is redundant. Mm-hmm. Like we don't need to exist together because there's no growth, there's no expansion.
Right.
So I think, like, the harmony and the beauty of, like, being human is being able to, like, appreciate what made us different.
Yeah.
And then.
I mean, I think that's true. Like, that's true for probably every single relationship we find ourselves in, that, like, they're going to have something to teach us, right? And reflect back to us, challenge us, whatever it might be, right? And, like, I think for us, like, the romantic relationship gets to bring a lot of that stuff up, mm-hmm. as does most, probably all romantic relationships, because you're really, like, concentrated in that relationship. But some people have a lot of stuff that comes up, like, with their boss, you know, or with their family, their sister, their parent, their right. son, their daughter. So, but yeah, I think, like, trying to get to that place where you can appreciate it and celebrate it and also just be like, I see that this is coming up for me, you know, mm-hmm. and I'm going to learn this lesson. And I think it's a tricky subject because obviously some people are in a very unhealthy relationships. And I'm obviously not saying, okay, well, learn the lesson and you can keep staying with that person, because sometimes it's better to just move on from that
right,
situation.
For sure.
But that doesn't mean the lesson should be lost, because there's something that still manifested that lesson into their life
right.
that they still probably have to work on and heal within themselves. And I mean, I think we're really blessed and fortunate that, like, we found each other. We're continuously working on lessons and we're both growing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I think that stuff is always going to come up between relationships in general, because it's an opportunity for you to grow no matter what.
Right.
And absolutely, if you can get to that place of celebration, you know, at the end of your argument and be like, yeah, we did it, and give each other a high five. Like,
right.
that would be amazing if we were all in that space. And I think it would stop, like, the cycle of blame, you
right.
know, and maybe even spread. Spread so that, you know, like, these huge wars aren't happening in our world.
Right.
Actually, it's like small scale, large scale. Yeah.
I actually just started thinking about that mm-hmm. because, like, on so many levels, like, our relationship is proving, at least in our own lives, that it's possible to bridge, like, gaps, differences, divides.
Yeah.
Like, because we were different in almost every way that people can be different.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And we still, and then you add money and kids and work and all that stuff on top of it,
mm-hmm.
like, us staying together doesn't make sense. But
let's break up.
No, yeah. But because of that binding idea of God or creator or oneness or whatever language mm-hmm. somebody uses, that's a unifying principle
mm-hmm.
That assumes that there is a way to connect. And I think that what happens in a lot of other expressions in humanity is that they don't think that there's a way to connect.
Yeah.
And when you have the positive assumption that there is a way, then a way can emerge,
mm-hmm.
you know? And that's, I think, probably why, like, when I tried to be an atheist and then I came back to believing in God and said I was going to believe in God absolutely or not at all,
mm-hmm.
was like, it was like, either there's something holding all this together, or this is just total chaos, but it can't be both. Maybe it can be, but for me, I decided that something's holding this all together.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
so
absolutely. And that interview that I watched yesterday, his name was Desi Bouteva, he said, like, one of the things that you can do in mindful relationships and nonviolent communication is finding that shared humanity
mm-hmm.
with each other, which I would obviously take it to even a more spiritual level. But
right.
it's once you find that space and you can think from, like, a more human space, then you're not, like, thinking about right and wrong and I need to get this out of it and, you know, like, win.
Right.
So it's...
Yeah.
It bridges that space, you know, where you can kind of have something in common.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I appreciate, like, even though I've talked to you for 20 years.
we're still learning.
Yeah, I appreciate that we're continuing to learn. And even in this conversation, I feel like I've learned things about you and myself and gotten some kind of little gems
mm-hmm.
of how to... appreciate and approach some dynamics in our relationship that still, like, may be, like, the rougher edges. and, it, you know, it's a challenge, but that's kind of, like, my personality is I kind of, like, go toward challenges.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know, and I actually coming away with a greater sense of hope for our society because, like, in Rocky IV, he says something like, If I can change and you can change, then everybody can change.
Yeah, absolutely. I believe that too.
And I kind of feel a sense of Sylvester Stallone's spirit, even though he's still alive, like coming in and saying, like, yeah, if me and you can do that, then everybody can do it. That's the assumption, you know, mm-hmm. that I'm going to leave away with and maybe have a little bit. I started feeling a little less confident in humanity, but right now I feel more confident in us again, mm-hmm. in humanity, because mm-hmm. of us.
Right.
Me and you talking like this.
See, we
and
can,
the
we can
invisible
create.
Guy to the side.
we can create world peace.
yeah. I mean, that's a lot
it's
to
all
ask.
Because of us.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but we can kind of model it.
No,
know?
Absolutely. Yeah, because if we're able to be it, then we can share it with our children who can, like, spread it out in their worlds and their relationships, you know? And
right.
I think we all just have to be that, right? Like, lean into the things that are trying to teach you lessons, no matter how hard they are, and
right.
learn your lessons.
Yeah.
And then as you grow and become, like, I think you gain more appreciation and more tolerance for other people if you're doing that for yourself, too. You're taking
right.
responsibility, you know?
Right. Absolutely.
For your part,
right.
your role in it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I want to give a shout out to my friend. His name's Carlton Pearson. He's a bishop. And I've been emotional lately because I've seen the church treat him a certain kind of way for being loving and open. And justifying being shut off. But, like, our relationship, to me, I feel like testifies to the, like, space that he envisions. And he's, like, not doing mm-hmm. really well right now physically. And it's been bothering me and making me feel, like, almost like I kind of want to shut down
mm-hmm.
and be like, F people.
Yeah.
Like, we just like fighting. We just like being right, and we value being right over relationship
mm-hmm.
instead of trying to be in right relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But I do feel hopeful mm-hmm. in our conversation right now, and I hope that in some way our conversation is a prayer for the world to figure its way to loving and growing and being expansive and
that's really beautiful.
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. And you can't see me about to cry on the audio, but I'm close to it.
Aww.
But I don't know. I appreciate he and Gina were similar with it. She was Catholic and he was fundamentalist, just like
and
me.
She and
she
became
you.
Like spiritual.
And exactly. And like we mirror. It's like I think there must be something to people being in relationships that hold that kind of tension, but each having their individual spirituality
mm-hmm.
that navigates the ups, the downs, and all that stuff. So mm-hmm. I hope that more people see it as a challenge for expansion and not just mm-hmm. like a threat to their existence.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I'm more me by being in a relationship with somebody who's challenging me. and you're probably more you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Cool.
No, I like that you said that you hope that this is a prayer for, like, other people to be able to see where they can grow and learn and become more of, them, I guess.
Yeah.
But.
Because at the end of the day, prayer is a conversation. So we're praying every time we talk to each other.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really beautiful.
Yeah, especially when you have a tap to the source.
Yeah.
Right. So that's cool. Well, and thanks for doing this with me, and thanks for, I knew you were going to do awesome once we got going, so thanks for showing up. Thanks for bringing yourself to this place. And
thanks for giving me an opportunity to grow.
Yeah, yeah. I think we'll have a nice rest of the day.